Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 16. Now, I'm going to read down to verse 25, but I'm only going to actually be dealing with verses 16 and 17. But I'm reading down to verse 25 so you can get a great feel of what God is saying. Amen. Are you there? The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now listen to this now. "Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past." He's reiterating that they which do such things, what does the Bible say? Shall not. Everybody say, shall not. Inherit the kingdom of God. No matter what they're saying out in society, the word says, if you do this, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, verse 22 says, there's a contrast here. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Somebody say amen for that. Amen. Amen. I don't think God can get any more clear than that text right there. But as I was saying, I want to conclude today with the series, Living a Consecrated Life in Crazy Times. I gave you three steps already, but I just want to, just a quick review so you can remember, so you can go back and we can pick up. I'm going to give you step four today. Well, the first step I gave you was start thinking right. Remember that step? I said start thinking. In other words, you got to get your mind right. If you're going to live a consecrated life in crazy times, you first got to start thinking right. You got to get your mind together. And also said out of that we want to become super spiritual. Not deep, not better than anybody else, super spiritual, meaning biblically sound, that we're going to live by the word of the Lord. And the next one I said, you're going to rid yourself. Step number two was you're going to rid yourself of the baggage of compromise. You remember that one? Rid yourself of the baggage of compromise or the baggage of sin, however you want to say it. And that just simply means that whatever causes you to compromise, you got to rid that out of your life. And then step number three I gave you, I said, get a life. Some of y'all remember that, don't you? In other words, get a life meaning develop a prayer life. Get a prayer life. Because I said you cannot live a consecrated life if you don't pray. Somebody say, I know that's right. I know that's right. So we talked about all those things. So today, I want to give you the final step. The final step is live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. If you're going to live a consecrated life in crazy times, you've got to live by the Spirit. If you want to wonder why you've been slipping and tripping and missing, maybe because you haven't lived by the Spirit. But if you're going to live a consecrated life, you've got to live by the Spirit. Now, when you look at the text that I read, you will notice that it appears that there is a battle for authority to lead. It appears that there is an opposing force against one another. That when you look at the text, you will find out that the flesh desires to lead, but the Spirit also desires to lead. And they are opposing one another. They are adversely against one another. And so when you look at the text closely, you will find out that God tells us very clearly who he wants us to follow. Now, here's what you got to understand. Because we are all free will agents, you must determine who you are going to allow to lead you. Nobody can make you follow them because God has given that to your authority. You have to be willing to submit yourself and let one or the other lead you. Now, the text is very clear. The text says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So God is making it clear who he wants you to follow. But he doesn't make you follow the spirit. You must willingly be willing to submit yourself to the spirit. So what I would say, if I was a wise person, I would listen to God. Because you know every time you listen to yourself, you get in trouble. So if the Bible says, walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, let's walk in the spirit or live by the spirit. That's what walk means. It means to live by the spirit. When you decide to live by the spirit, what you are saying is, I am going to bring myself under the authority of the Holy Ghost. Which means the Holy Ghost will have total authority and rule in my life. I will no longer be ruling my own life, but he will rule my life for me because I'm giving him permission to do so. Now, all that means is when I come under his authority, I also come under the authority of the Word of God. You cannot say you're living by the Spirit and you don't live by the Word of God. So they work in concert. So when I submit myself to the Spirit of God, I'm also submitting myself to the Word of God. When I do that, I say to the Lord that I will allow you to lead my life and I will also govern my life by the Word of God. You get me? Follow me. So now I'm under the authority of the Holy Ghost. I am also allowing the Holy Ghost to lead me and guide me into all truth. And what is truth? Thy word is truth. That's why you got to have the word. Because you can't say you're submitting to the Holy Spirit and then you don't submit to the word. So when I come under the authority of the Holy Spirit, I also have to come under the authority of the word. You cannot do one or the other. You must do both if you're going to live a consecrated life. So now I'm under the authority of the Holy Ghost. I'm under the authority of the word. I'm living by the spirit. Now, when I live by the spirit, let me tell you, it's a few things that happen. When I live by the spirit, I stay in the very center of God's will. And let me give you an example. You ever played dots before? When you play dots, you got a dot board. And when you shoot the dot, you will see that there's a bullseye in the middle. Now, there are other places that you can hit the dot with, but the goal is to try to hit the bullseye. Now, what God says, when you live by the Spirit, he always wants you to hit the bullseye. So whenever I'm living by the Spirit, there's always a bullseye. I'm always in the center of God's will. I'm not to the left. I'm not to the right. I don't deviate one way or the other. I'm always dead center. And the reason why that's important is because some of y'all live that life where you're kind of to the left. That if any wind of compromise blows, here you go. You're going to fall right over there. It's a dangerous thing to live on the edge. And I don't understand believers. Many believers want to live right on the edge and find out how close can I get to the edge and still be consecrated. I don't want to live like that. I want to see how far I can get away and stay in the very center of God's. So when I live by the Spirit, it keeps me in the very center of God's will. And I think that's what the church has to become acquainted with, getting in the center of God's will, where we are no longer deviating to the left or to the right. We compromise when we start deviating. Let's stay lined up with God so I can hear God, so I can move when God wants me to move. And there's no back and forth dialogue saying, I don't know if I really want to do that. That's because you're not living in the center of God's will. When you live in the center of God's will, you don't give God a lot of back talk. Oh, don't get quiet on me now. Because some of y'all give God back talk. That's because you're not living in the center of God's will because you're not living by the Spirit. You've got to live by the Spirit, which keeps me in the center of God's will. Now, when I'm in the center of God's will, here's another thing. It's impossible for me to compromise. I said it because the church doesn't believe that. We don't believe that we can't compromise or we have to compromise. We don't believe that I don't have to compromise and I don't have to sin because Jesus came to break the works of the devil. Come on, somebody. That's what he came for, to save us from sin. So if he came to save us from sin, why do we keep sinning, or why do we feel like we can't help but sin? Sounds like Jesus wasn't powerful enough to do the work. It's not true. When you live by the Spirit, it's impossible to compromise. You cannot fall. You cannot mess up when you live by the Spirit. You cannot do wrong when you live by the Spirit. Here's what happens. The moment I get out from under the leading of the Holy Ghost is the moment I begin to compromise. I must give up the right to the Holy Ghost to lead me. When I do that, now I find myself in a place of compromise. As long as I stay under the authority of the Holy Ghost, I do not sin. Now, if I talk to some of you grown-ups can tell me that you know that the moment you got in your flesh was the moment you start sinning. As long as you live by the Spirit, you did not sin. Oh, come on. Y'all got to work with me, church. Looking like I'm talking to somebody like that. Like, what are you talking about? No. You cannot sin if you stay under the authority of the Holy Ghost. If you live by the Spirit, because the text says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that what the text says? So if God said you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, it must mean I won't do it if I stay under the authority of the Holy Ghost. You show me a person that has slipped up. You show me a person that has messed up. You show me a person that has compromised. And I'll show you a person that stopped living by the Spirit. When we fall, it's because we stop living by the Spirit. When we say what we say, it's because we stop living by the Spirit. When we do what we do, it's because we stop living by the Spirit. When we go where we go, it's because we stop living by the Spirit. It could be a momentary moment. It could be a long-term thing, but whatever. So let me just explain this to you. You can stop living by the Spirit for a moment, and you end up laying hands on somebody. Because you got, that's what we call, it's called getting in the flesh. You weren't living by the Spirit at that moment. That's what caused you to get in the flesh. But as long as I stay in the Spirit and I live by the Spirit, I cannot do wrong. I've got to say, Holy Ghost, you stay right there. I'm going to handle this. And whenever we do that, we're in the flesh. Because the Holy Ghost said, you have given me authority. I'm supposed to tell you where to move. And the Holy Ghost is back there saying, don't do that. Stay in the house. Don't go out today, because you know you're out of character right now. And you might say something, I'm going anyway. And the moment you leave that house, Holy Ghost said, well, I'll be waiting for you when you come back. Oh, come on. That's why people get this old saying, I'll put my religion on the shelf. All that means is I'm going to let the Holy Ghost stay right there because I'm going to handle that. Can I tell you what that is? That's walking in the flesh. Because everybody thinks the flesh is just simply, you know, I'm fornicating, I'm adult. Yeah, that's flesh too. But the other stuff is flesh too. But you cannot compromise. It's impossible to compromise when you stay under the authority of the Holy Ghost. As long as I allow the Holy Ghost to lead me, I have no problems. It is the moment that I stop allowing the Holy Ghost to lead me. It's as simple as this. When you allow yourself to submit to the Holy Spirit, all it means is that I have now taken my natural man, which is my flesh, and surrendered it to my spirit man. And what I say is, my spirit man will lead my flesh. Or you can say it like this, or my flesh will follow my spirit. And as long as I keep that order, man, I'm okay. As long as my spirit is lead my flesh, I'm okay. If that order ever changes, I'm in trouble. And you know, that's how we get in trouble, because the order has changed. All of a sudden now, my spirit is following my flesh. That's a bad thing, because your flesh is saying, your spirit is saying, I don't want to go there. And your flesh is saying, but I want to do it. Your spirit says, I want to go this way. Your flesh says, no, I want to go this way. They oppose one another. It's the order. And as long as I keep my order right, I live right. As long as the Holy Spirit is leading me, because I found out something, guys. The Holy Spirit never leads me in the wrong way. He always leads me in truth. He always leads me in light. He always leads me in righteousness. He always leads me in the will of the Father. He never leads me wrong. Now, the strange thing is, whenever the flesh leads me, I always seem to get in trouble. Figure that. Because every time he leads me, I find myself in a bad place. I'm in a dark place. I'm in trouble again. Oh, man, I'm in the wrong bed. I picked up the wrong thing. I drunk the wrong. I mean, it would seem to me, church, that if I'm in the wrong place, I would track, how did I get there? And you say, well, I've been following my flesh. And if you don't want to be there, why keep following your flesh? And you beat yourself up and say, I'm tired of this. And God says, I'm tired of it too. Why don't you do what I say? Change the order. Look at your neighbor and say, change the order. Just means now follow the Spirit. I start to say, tell somebody, dummy, follow the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's impossible to compromise as long as I stay under. How am I going to live a consecrated life in crazy times? I'm going to live by the Spirit. How am I going to stay out of trouble this year and not get into trouble this year like I got last year? I'm going to live by the Spirit. How am I going to keep him out of my house and keep my legs closed? I'm going to live by, I said it, I'm going to live by the Spirit. How am I going to say to myself, I'm not going to take that drink this year like I took last year? You know how I'm going to do it? I'm going to live by the Spirit. How am I going to put the cigarettes down and stop having a nervous attack? I'm going to live by the Spirit. How am I going to stop popping pills this year like I did last year? I'm going to live by the Spirit. Are we going to live by the Spirit? That's the only way you can live a consecrated life. You can't do it on your own. If we could do it on our own, we wouldn't have need of Jesus. Jesus came so that we could live in victory. If I had to contend with sin every day, we would be people most miserable. I mean, just every day. Lord, I fell again. Lord, I fell again. Lord, I fell again. Lord, I fell again. That is a miserable life. It's miserable. And God does not want us living like that. And some of you, you've allowed yourself to live like that over the last few years. But God is telling us now, I don't want you to live like that. My blood is enough. Come on, my spirit is enough. If any man be in Christ, notice what it says. If any man be in Christ, he in Christ, in Christ. If I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. I'm not living by my flesh because I'm in Christ. If I get out of Christ, I'm in trouble. But I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, I got victory now. I don't have to live in my flesh. I got victory now. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you can live a victorious life. Don't let nobody tell you, you know, we just can't help it and it's just the way it is. That's why the church is so weak today, because we're not picking up the word and looking at what the word says. Yes, we can. I can do all things through Christ. Again, I'm in Christ, so I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Why? Because I'm in Christ. If I stay in Christ, I can do all things. If I stay in Christ, I can live a victorious life. If I stay in Christ, I can conquer anything. If I stay in Christ, I can love the unlovable. If I stay in Christ, come on somebody, I can walk in grace. If I stay in Christ, I can keep my marriage together. If I stay in Christ, I can live a celibate life. If all God, I'm in Christ. So I live by the Spirit. Come on, church. Let's live by the Spirit this year. Tell the devil no. Last year you told him yes too many times. This year, no. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I'm not touching that because I live by my Spirit. You got the wrong house this year. That woman don't live here no more. That man moved. It's a new man in this house now. He's called sanctified. He's a holy man of God. He's justified. He's sanctified. That old man don't live here. Wrong address. Send that mail back. Return the sender. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ, and I'm living by the Spirit. This is my year. This is my year. Church, this is our year. This is our year. We ain't going back. We ain't compromising. If God says it's wrong, and we ain't gonna touch it. It's impossible to compromise. Let me tell you the next point. When we live by the Spirit, and to me this is critical, when we live by the Spirit, it pleases God. If nothing else motivates you, this point should motivate you, because our whole living and intent should be to please God. We got too many people living unto themselves. Paul said it's no longer I. But man, I believe we're just dealing with the me people this year. I mean, we got this me generation. It's all about me. We even say, it's all about me. What about me? What about where am I going? What's in it for me? There's nothing in it for you. What's in it for Christ? It's all about him. When we came into him, it became about him. You know why it's got to be about him? Because he's the only one that could have saved us. If it becomes about you, you couldn't save us. We were wretched and undone on our way to a devil's hell. Wasn't fit to live and wasn't ready to die. And Jesus came on the scene and said, I know you're coming down. I know you're coming down and you're going to be born one day. And I'm going to lay my life down for you. He had us on his mind before your mother and your father was ever born. He knew we would be on this earth. And he said, if I don't die, you're going to die. It's all about him, church. That's why we live a consecrated life. It's not for us, it's for him. That he might use us as an earthen vessel while we're on this earth. That's why he wants us to live holy, because we're made in his image and his likeness. We've been bought with a price. The Bible said we don't even belong to ourselves. He said, in a sense, he said, you become my slave. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, yoke. But my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, I want you to yoke yourself with me because I'm a good master. And I'll lead you in the truth. I won't hurt you. I won't harm you. Everything I'll do it for your interest and for your benefit. He says, I just want you to give me glory. And let everybody know it's not about you. It's all about me. That's what the church has to understand. We got to get back there, church. It's not about you. That's why we've got to live a consecrated life. Because we're made in his image. We are supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be holy. You can go on YouTube at any given time and look at the church and see some of the most asinine, crazy things on YouTube that folk are doing in the church. It's embarrassing. It's an indictment against the church. And here we are trying to live a consecrated life, going on our job, and we've got to make excuses for what's going on. We've got to apologize. That's not how we do it. Well, that's what they say right here. Oh, come on. Somebody say amen if I'm talking true. You know, I mean, we got to get it together. And part of that is letting our light so shine. That's what the word says. You got to let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify the Father. Did the Bible say we're the salt of the earth? And if the salt has lost its savor, it is hence good for nothing to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Is that what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5? So we should be salt and light. You cannot be salt and light if you're not living a consecrated life. And you can't live a consecrated life if you don't live by the Spirit. So there's some stuff in your life that you must quit. Because God is pleased when we live by the Spirit. The only thing that pleases God is when we live by the Spirit. In fact, when you look at, I think, the St. John chapter 8, around verse 29 or so, between 26 and 29, it says, Jesus said this. He says, "For I always do the things that pleases the Father." Jesus said this. He says, "I always do the things that pleases the Father." Can I tell you what that means? Can I translate that? He says, "I always do the things that pleases the Father," which means I always live by the Spirit. The only way Jesus could have pleased the Father while he was on earth, he had to live by the Spirit. Yes, I know he was God. I know he was Emmanuel. Yes, he was God manifested in the flesh. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. He's all of that. But he was still man. Amen. And the same way we got to live by the Spirit, Jesus had to live by the Spirit. He could not please God if he didn't live by the Spirit. Now, when you look at his life, first thing, Jesus comes on the scene. He goes down to the River Jordan. He's baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin. He comes up out of the River Jordan. And immediately, the Bible said, a dove descended from heaven, signifying that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then the Father declares out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Immediately in Luke chapter 4, you'll see, "And the Spirit of the Lord, being full of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord led him where?" Into the way. But did you get that word? He led. If you're being led, you've got to submit yourself to be led by anybody. So Jesus was living by the Spirit because he was led by the Holy Ghost. And he goes into the wilderness. He stays there for 40 days and 40 nights, praying and fasting. Then you'll pick it up a little bit later in Luke chapter 4, and you'll see when he left from the wilderness, he went back to Galilee. And the Bible said, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. Did you get that? He returned in the power. Side note, if you want to be powerful, you don't get powerful just simply lifting your hands. You get power on your knees. Maybe that's why the church is not strong as the way we're supposed to be, because we're not on our knees enough. The Bible said when he left the wilderness, he left with power of the Spirit. You know why? Because he was on his knees. If you want to do the supernatural, it comes by you being on your knees. If you want to be a powerful man and woman of God, I'm not talking about titles, I'm not talking about collars, I'm just talking about being a powerful man and woman of God, it starts with you being on your knees. If you wonder why you're weak, check out your prayer life. If you wonder why you're wimping all the time, check out your prayer life. Because people that's on their knees are powerful. And it's not about a title. You're powerful without a title. Come on, somebody. He left. He was in power. And then the Bible says he went to Galilee. There's a city out of Galilee that he returned to, his hometown, Nazareth. He went there. And it was their custom that he would go into the synagogue. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. It was their custom that they would read a scroll. They handed him the scroll, and Jesus began to read. Self-prophecy fulfilled on that day. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." The anointing is anointed. Did you get that? Christ, the anointed one, is anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, you got to get that now. Isaiah prophesied that hundreds of years prior. Jesus picks it up and reads it, fulfilling the prophecy. Oh, God, tell me the word ain't true. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Get that now. Now get the next one. "He has sent me." Did you get that? If he sent me, that's past tense, must mean I'm going. And if I'm going, that must mean I had to submit. There again, I'm living by the Spirit. "He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted." to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What did he send me to? He sent me to do all of those things. How could Jesus be sent? Jesus was sent because Jesus was submitted to the Holy Spirit. He was living by the Spirit. And can I tell you something? Jesus could have refused to go in the wilderness, number one. He could have refused to do that mission, number two. He could have. What do you mean, Pastor? Yes, he could, because he was a free will agent. Oh, you say you don't want to do things and you don't do it for the Lord? Oh, can I just be real? Oh, don't make me peep your whole card now. You know. Well, God, I ain't feeling that. I might. You ever hear people say, "Girl, didn't the Lord tell you that?" I know. Oh, come on, don't y'all get brand new, but you know you've done that. I know. Acting all grand and sitting right in your seat like you know. God could just blink you out right now. You just, I don't know if I want to do it. Okay. You know why we can say that? Because two things. One, you're a free will agent, and two, God's grace. Aren't you so glad that God's not handling you under the law? Because you couldn't do that under the law. Under the law, excuse me, you did what? Come here. Stone them right now. Some of us be stoned to death a long time ago with some of the stuff we've done. Thank God. You need to give God a praise break right now. Thank God for grace. I'm thanking him for grace. God, I thank him for grace. If you can just reflect for a few minutes over some of the stuff that you did, that if you was under the law, you know you wouldn't even be here today. You need to just give God a praise. Thank God for grace. It's not a ticket to sin, but I'm so glad that God looked beyond all my faults and saw my needs, that he knew that I was going to line up one day, so he didn't cut me off, but he gave me grace. Somebody say grace. Lord, when my God, I'm getting happy now. Because I'm a grace case up here. I got a mic in my hand. I'm a preacher, but I'm a grace case. Way before he called me to the ministry, even after I got under the blood, oh God, I had some slip-ups. Thank God for the grace. Didn't know I would be holding a mic one day. Didn't know I would be called to the ministry one day. Didn't know I would be pastoring people one day. Slipping up, messing up. But God had grace on me. He said, I got a plan for your life. I got a purpose for your life. I got a work for you to do. I know you're doing the wrong thing right now. But my grace is going to cover you. My blood is going to wash you until you can get it right. That's why you can't put your nose down on nobody. That's why you can't look down on nobody. Because when you look back over your life, you were one of the same old people. Paul said it like this. Such were some of you. That's why sometimes I get upset, because we can be so judgmental. And I'm not saying that you give people a ticket to sin, but you know sometimes you've been there too. And if God didn't have no mercy on you, where would you be today? Come on, preachers, y'all can help me out. You know, oh God, you know, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I would have been swallowed up. But grace. Jesus. Tell your neighbor, be patient with me. God's still working on me. I know I'm messed up right now, but God's still working on me. Grace. Oh, Jesus. God, I get excited. Oh, Shabanda. Oh, God. God can deliver you out of the can't help it. Because it's grace. Anybody in here felt like you had the can't help it, but God delivered you? Yes. Been there, done that, got a trophy for it. Thank you for your grace, God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Let me conclude this. I ain't lost my point, but God, you can't, oh my God, you can't think about the grace of God and not get happy. Jesus. Oh God. Hey! But for grace, but for grace, but for grace, what would we be, church? What would we be, church? I am so glad for God's grace. My God, Shabbat Shabbat. Wouldn't even be here preaching. When you look at your children, look at them through the eyes of grace. Oh, they could be jacked up. They can be on the road of sin and degradation. But look through the eyes of grace and know that God's grace is deeper still. They may be in a dark pit right now, the pit of sin, but God's grace is deeper still. Oh, he'll pick you up and he'll turn you around. He'll place your feet on solid ground. His grace. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. We declare sons and daughters will come back home. We declare they will come into the kingdom of God. And they will live for God. Don't give up, mothers. Don't give up, fathers. Our sons and our daughters will come home because of God's grace. And you know, sometimes we can get so upset with them. But sometimes you got to remember your life. And you got to remember that, look at this. They come out of you. And there are just certain tendencies that you display that you're trying to beat the hell out of them because they're displaying it. But it's in them because it's in the blood. But the same God that saved you and delivered you, he'll deliver them too. Can you talk to me? Oh, yes, he will. Somebody say, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. No, shout out about she. But grace. 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 I'm a grace case, bro. I'm a grace case. I'm a grace case. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for grace. Thank you for grace. Let me get you out of here. Let me get you out of here. That wasn't in the notes. That's Shaban the Robo Shea. Can we just give God a praise? Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Yes. We bless your name, God. We bless your name. As we go back to the text, let me just get out of here. Lord God. Man, grace, 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 grace. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got to believe that's for some of us. Grace, grace, grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you for grace. Thank you for grace. Thank you for grace, God. You encourage our hearts, God. And we bless you for it. We bless you for it. And so Jesus is led by the Spirit. His whole earthly ministry, Jesus was led by the Spirit. He lived by the Spirit. He did not live by his flesh. He had a will of his own, but he submitted to the will of the Spirit. You know he had a will because when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed and he said, Father, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, Father, if there's another way that we can accomplish what we need to accomplish, the Lord, bring that to pass. Because there's a couple of things I really don't want to have to deal with. This is going to be very painful, one, but I've never been separated from you. You've never turned your face away from me. And I know it's going to happen because sin can't come in your presence. He said, if there's another way, let this cup pass. Three times he petitioned the Father. And we hear these famous words that we quote. He says, nevertheless, not my will, which means Jesus had a will. Not my will, but thy will be done. He lived by the Spirit, therefore he pleased the Father at all times. Maybe that's why we don't hear anything about Jesus' name in some scandalous report. Maybe that's why we've never heard Jesus' name in a tabloid saying that he slept with a wrong woman, saying that he did something that was inappropriate. Maybe that's why, because he lived by the Spirit. Perhaps that's why the church is caught up in scandal sometimes, because we're not living by the Spirit. Come on, church. That's why we can pull up YouTube and see different things about pastors and preachers and some of the laity. Why? Because we're not living by the Spirit. Maybe that's why people feel like you can do this and yet serve God, because we ain't been living by the Spirit. Maybe that's why the lines are a little blurred right now with the world thinking that they can serve our God and yet back it up and shake it and do whatever they want to do. Because what? Because we are not living by the Spirit. We have not drawn a line in the sand of holiness and say, holiness without no man shall see the Lord. My God. Maybe that's what it is. But when I look at the word of the Lord, holiness is still the same. Righteousness is still the same. The standard has not changed. You can say, giving honor to God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all you want to, and then go out there and fornicate. My God, the Bible said, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care what you hear on BET or what you hear on those programs, those musical shows, when they come up there and say, well, before I say anything, you know, I just want to thank God for allowing me to do this. And then he goes back rapping and he's calling her bees and all. No, no, God ain't in that. But people are doing that because the church has got the lines blurred. Because we are not living by the Spirit. We're in the club just like them. We're in one bed to the next just like them. We're popping pills just like them. We're smoking dope just like them. Come. Oh, don't get quiet, church. We got to live by the Spirit. They can't see you going to the liquor store every Friday night, getting a Jack Daniels, come on somebody, Jim Beam, and then you going to talk about, come on and go to church with me. The lines are blurred. That's not living by the Spirit. When you live by the Spirit, your body, your mind, your soul, and your spirit is subject to the Holy Ghost's will. He leads you. He guides you into all truth. Come here, Pastor. You're a pastor, but you're the Holy Spirit. Now, you're going to take me where you want me to go. Because I'm submitted to you, I'm going to follow you. And wherever you go, I'm going. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever think just because he leads you in a tight place, a dark place, that is not the will of God. If you're living by the Spirit, many other afflictions are the righteous, but the Lord. So wherever you decide, I've submitted myself to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to follow you. If you stop, that means I'm going to stop. But you know, I'm tired of waiting. Why can't I? I just want to go. I don't want to wait. How long am I going to stay in the same old place, Lord? I'm going to be a last year. God, I don't want shit there. I'm going to tie. Everybody else is getting their head, and they're just waiting. I'm tired of you telling me to wait. Do something. Do something. frightening. Sometimes he's frightening. You just got to pick you up. And you tired of this stuff, but you're in the will of God. All I'm trying to tell you, saints, is it's not going to always feel good. But I'm telling you, I'm in victory. I'm in victory. Even when I'm waiting, because I'm in the Spirit. I'm living by that. That's what you got to know, church. It's not an easy walk every day. But after I've been tried, after I've proven that he can trust me, that even though I don't want it and I don't feel like it, I'm going to still let him lead me. I wish he would walk faster sometimes. I wish he wouldn't make me wait all the time. But I'm going to wait right here until my change comes. I don't know when and I don't know how. But I refuse to move in the flesh. This year. Somebody say this year. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody stand to your feet right now. Yeah. We're going to worship you, God. And we're going to worship you in spirit and in truth.